Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
Lord, we adore you. Lord, we adore you. We adore you, Jesus, Yeshua. We love you. We love everything about you. Everything about you is so perfect, so beautiful, and so lovely. There's no one like Jesus. I saw Jesus take someone in here, but like a baby, take him in his arms and say, everything's going to be okay. You don't have to be so grown up all the time. You don't have to always be so strong. Sometimes I want to be strong for you, but you got to let me. So go back to being a little child that can't do it, that can't even give it words. You don't have to always try to master everything or get everything right. Sometimes I just want my little kids. Come as a child. You know, children are the ones that inherit the kingdom. In fact, Jesus said, if you don't come as a child, you can't see the kingdom. But sometimes we need to lay aside all our what we think our knowledge is, or any giftings or abilities. We have to just lay it aside and come as a child and just acknowledge we really don't know anything, not in his presence. And let him be king. That's what he's good at. Let him manage things. Let him run the things. Let him be the master. Let him be the fixer. Let him be the carpenter, the builder. He actually wants to show himself strong in your behalf. He wants to show off sometimes. We're talking about somebody that can create mountains with the breath of his mouth. If he wanted another world, breath of his mouth. Sometimes he likes to show off his power, but when we're so busy trying to fix it and make it happen and own it and run it, sometimes we just get in the way. So it's good to be sometimes humble in the Lord's presence, just say, you know, I really don't know that much. I really don't know anything. And I can't fix this, but you can. I can't make this work, but you can. And I put my trust in you. I put all my trust in this impossible situation in you. I can't fix it. I put all my trust about that person or that relationship or that finance or that situation, I put all my trust in you because I know that I can't really fix it. And that's pleasing to the Lord. That's pleasing to him because you're saying in those words, you're saying, you're God and I'm not. And you know how and I don't. And you're strong and I'm not. You know? There's times when he makes us strong, and that's fun. That's a lot of fun when he does that. He lets us be strong in his behalf. But it's even more fun when we just get to be like a little kid and say, you know, I really don't have anything to give you here, Lord. You know, what's the old song? Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Because you are everything. You're not part of everything. You are everything. You're not a partial solution to my problems. You are the one and only. And I will take no credit for anything I manage to do right, because if I manage to do it right and not screw it up, it was only by your grace and your ability somehow working it out. It's a much easier life. Some of you are you have angst and you have worries and you have cares and you're carrying them and you're worried about it. And I do understand. I do, because some of you have some hard situations, and I get it. But God is asking you, I feel like he's gently and lovingly, not condemningly or judgingly, but gently and lovingly saying, will you give me that tonight? Will you give me that care, that angst, that worry, that little fear that keeps cropping up? You deal with it, but it crops up again, and you deal with it, crops up again. Would you give me that and leave it in my courts? Leave it before me and go your way joyfully. And if people ask you about it, say, I don't know. God's got it. I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work out. God's got it. And watch me do what I do best. Because, see, my heart is to raise you up and lift you up. My heart is to raise you up to victory and to show myself strong in your behalf. You know, even when I won a war through Israel, it was my grace upon them that did it. When Samson took the jawbone of the ass and slew all those Philistines, that was me. That wasn't him. That was me using him. So even if I use you, you must understand it's the grace, the power, and the glory of God in you. And if you really get that, you'll be able to walk as free as a little kid who's playing in a mud puddle. Free as can be, without worry or fear, and know that I've got it. And yes, there will be times when I'll do it through you, but that's not you. That's us. I never asked you to do it for me. In fact, you can't. I asked you to let me do it through you, with you, or even for you. I want to show my glory. I want to do miracles in your life. I want you to have the wonderful testimony. I have great things for you, much, much greater than you may know, much higher than you may have seen. But sometimes I love you, but you're in the way. Sometimes you get in the way of your own solution. Sometimes because you're trying so hard or you have all these rules and regs that you think it has to fit this or fit that, sometimes that actually hinders the work of the Lord. Sometimes you just have to let the whole thing fall in a pile and say, Jesus, I don't know what to do with this. But you do. And I feel like God is saying, that's what I'm asking you for. Give me your life. Give me your kids. Give me your aging parents. Give me your brethren. Give me that broken relationship that is hurting your heart. Someone here had a very deep, I almost want to say betrayal, but a very deep wounding when a relationship went the wrong way. And it has hurt very much, and you've tried to make it right. You've tried to fix it, and there seems to be no fixing it. Give that thing to God. Put it on the altar and give it to God and let him deal with it. Let him handle it. It may not happen immediately, but trust him with your heart. Trust him with the betrayal. Listen, nobody knows more about betrayal than Jesus. There's no one that knows more about being betrayed by a friend. And even by the church, even by his own people. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Came to die for him, and they wouldn't even acknowledge him. Some of the ones he came to die for ended up killing him, abusing him, accusing him. He knows all about betrayal, and he knows all about, you say, Jesus doesn't know about a broken heart. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He understood what it was to have a broken relationship. And to this day, there are things that hurt his heart. There are things that grieve him. There's things he's very sad about in the church and in the world. There's things he grieves over. He does get it. And I'm just going by the Spirit here, so bear with me. This is for one person, but I saw a hook in your heart because that tie to that person was pulling on your heart and it was hurting and wounding. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, I command that hook to come out and loose you and let you go so you can walk in peace until God deals with the way it needs to be dealt with. Amen? God is bringing forth some healing tonight. This type of healing is in your heart and your soul. There's someone here that your past has held you so tightly, you can't see the present or the future. You see with this It's like a bag over your head, I love you, I'm not trying to be tough, but it's like a bag over your head of this is the way it's always been, this is the way it's always been, and whenever I do this, that happens, whenever I do this, that happens. God is trying to remove that filter forever because he wants to give you eyes to see the reality of his kingdom, and you can't see it because of the way things happened before. And God wants to release you to see again, live again, breathe again. Some of you, I feel like you haven't breathed in the realms of God for a long time. You haven't let yourself, you know. You know, Christians were never meant to be uptight and religious and so legalistic and so hard on themselves. I minister to a lot of people, and one of the biggest problems I see is people demand so much perfection of themselves. Now, you say, well, doesn't God want us to be perfect? He does, but you can't do it yourself. He does it in you. He does it through you. He does it. The Spirit of God does it. When you, as you fellowship with him, his holiness begins to flow. It's not something you have in your flesh. His Spirit has it in you, and that's the release. Listen, if you're trying to get free from an addiction or a habit or cussing or whatever it is, your flesh doesn't have that strength or that ability, but his Spirit in you does. There's people in here who have been set free from addiction by the power of God forever. Once and for all, a bunch of us, man, we were set free, and we know we didn't do it because we tried and we couldn't. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And there's people in here that you've been so hard on yourself, but God's saying to you, you've misunderstood the method. I do want to set you free. And I'll be rejoicing when you are free. But listen, when I was dying on the cross, I didn't look and say, oh, nope, that one's too hard. I don't care about that. No, I died for all. I died for the sins of the whole world. Salvation is free. Freedom is free. Release from addiction is free, forgiveness is free, redemption is free. I desire for you to receive without demanding. You know, demanding so much of yourself can be a religious type of spirit that keeps you from the actual presence of God. And sometimes God wants you to give yourself permission that while you're on the way, right? We're on our way, we're being made holy, we're being made perfect, right? We're on our way. But our flesh in the meantime, you know, it's a work in progress. And what we do is we get saved and we think we're just supposed to be immediately perfect, but it's a journey. It's a journey of getting to know him and learning how to let him work through us by his grace. And one thing at a time, he begins to change us and we are made different. But it's a journey. And I feel like if you've been demanding perfection, listen, I'm nothing like I was in my 20s. You talk about a wreck. Just a mess in every area. Screwed up, messed up, bound, needed deliverance, needed emotional healing, dumb as a post, making poor decisions. And God didn't just go, fixed, nope. But as I sought him, and hung out with him and learned how to hang out with his presence, be in his presence, and be a little kid in his presence without a clue, I found that the more I could just be like a child, the more his grace just poured upon me and liberated me from all that stuff, one thing at a time, one thing at a time. And so I feel like God wants to lift that heavy burden of demands. There's someone in here, when you come before God, your way of praying is to basically abuse yourself because you're afraid he's gonna, you know. And so you talk about how bad you are. And I can kind of hear him saying, but don't you know what I did? Don't you realize what my blood did? That I didn't just forgive you, I recreated you and gave you this brand new born-again spirit. I gave that to you. And so if you could look at that and not this, meaning look at that reality and not the mistakes you make day by day, then you could live in my presence without fear of me being angry with you, because I'm not. What I look at is the heart. It's the heart that I care about. And when someone has a heart to be holy and a desire to be holy, that's a pure heart. There's those that don't care. They have a problem because they have a hard time getting changed. They don't care. But those that truly want holiness and care about being made into my image, that's a pure heart. And one that always has an open heaven. That's a perfect heart. And remember, God looks at the heart, not the outward manifestation. So you say, well, how could God be pleased with me? I'm such a mess. Oh, if you have a good heart, do you know that he sees your heart and not your mess? And you come and you say, Lord, I'm having this problem with this thing over here, and I tried and tried, and I can't seem to fix it. It's not a surprise to him. He's aware, but that's not his focus. His focus is, wow, you look at that guy's heart. Look at that guy. He loves me. That's his heart towards you. And he wants to lift you up, and sometimes you stop yourself from having. Did you know that you can stop yourself from having a heavenly encounter because you're afraid that you're not worthy? You can stop a move of God, a visitation from God, because of fear. Isn't that interesting? When that's the one thing that will set you free. The one thing that will set you free is when the presence comes upon you. Boom, free. That will set you free. And sometimes if you're in fear and you're so demanding of yourself or critical of yourself, sometimes, am I saying you don't have flaws? No, we all do. I've got them. You've got them. If your name isn't Jesus, you got them, right? He's the only one that's flawless. He knew that when he saved us, and he knew that from the moment we got saved, if we had a pure heart and we loved him, there would be a journey from that moment until the day we die. It's a journey. And whether that journey is long or short, you are being changed from faith to faith and glory to glory. It's a journey. And you won't be the same at the end as you were at the beginning. And in probably every case, we won't be fully him yet, fully perfect yet, right? We're to grow up in all things into him. But it's a growing. You can't just step into it. There's been some misunderstanding because some glory has been preached, which is great, but it makes people think they're just going to step in. You can't fully step in day one because you have to become acclimated to the presence of the King. If we went straight to the throne initially, we would fry because the power and the presence is so vast, so great. We have no words for it. So we have to acclimate. And what I feel like God is trying to do, there's some people that have never allowed themselves to go into the door. You know, even in worship, you hold back because you think God doesn't love you. Oh, God loves you so much. God, did you know that God longs for you? His heart longs for his people. He earnestly desires to sit with you. Did you know that the Father's heart is, he earnestly desires to sit with you and spend time with you and teach you, open his word to you, show you the way of things? There's nothing more wonderful, and the barriers are not in him. He doesn't have the barrier saying, you can't come here and sit with me and listen for an hour. That's not his barrier, that's our barrier. Right? We say, well, I don't think I could go. I don't know if I could, you know, hear him. I don't know if he would talk to me. I don't know if he loves me. Well, then what you're saying is God is a respecter of persons, but the Bible says he's not. From the greatest to the least, all of the church, anyone that's ever dared to truly utter the prayer and mean it and be born again, there is no one great and there's no one small. He loves every single one and desires with a longing and a passion to fellowship with an open heaven. And I have news for you. Jesus opened the heaven. He tore it open. It's open. There's nothing hindering us except us. We are our own worst enemy. And so if we say, oh, please God, please God, please God, won't you? You know, I used to beg God to give me an encounter. I had a friend that had this out-of-body go-to-heaven experience, and it was so powerful that he couldn't talk about it, wouldn't talk about it for years. Even to his wife, she knew it happened because she saw it, and he just said like one thing, and he would never talk about it because it was too holy. Man, I was so jealous. Oh, I begged God. I begged him, please, 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 please. And I was sitting after some begging for some time. I was sitting in church one day, and the Lord said, you are one of those that if you ever came, you'd never go back home. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. But God's heart towards you, if he had his way, he would bring you into his presence and sit for hours and teach you. All those things that are bothering you, he'd dismantle it in front of you and show you, here's what's really going on. You think it's this and this, but really, it's that. Do you ever have him do that? Just in a moment, clarify something. You're like, oh, it's not even what I thought. God would spend his life with you. He wants you to spend your life with him. And so there are barriers we put up that we don't always realize. No, not everybody looks at their thoughts. Not everybody is, and I'm, you know, don't be, some people get so introspective that they lose, you know, they start walking in circles. But pay attention to your thoughts. If someone says something that's a promise, or even you hear that God loves you, and your mind or your emotions say something like, well, yeah, but I don't know about that. Or that's not true because. Or you're reading a scripture. Do you ever have this happen? You're reading along, and then you hit one, and you kind of blow past it because you think, well, that one's not, you know, really, that doesn't apply to me. But it happens so fast, you blow by it so fast that you don't realize you just did that. And I'm going to tell you how to get free is you start to look at all those things we call, yeah, but. Yeah, I know that's true, but. Yeah, I know God heals today, but. Or I know God loves his children, but. I know God forgives, but. When you have that, that is from the enemy. And somewhere in your life, he sowed a seed and you believe it, you bought it, and you let that plant grow. And here's the deal, you have to pull it out. And I'm going to tell you something, really, it took me a while to figure this out, but when that's happened, even if it's a fine-sounding argument, it seems like it makes sense, that is a lie that's rooted in your soul, and it's actually sin. Because it's contrary to the word of God. Let's say you have a promise and you think, well, yeah, but I don't think that applies to me. Oh, okay, well, you just called God a liar, and you singled yourself out and said God is a respecter of persons, so what is it? It's, I love you, it's sin. And so what you do is see it for what it is and repent. Repent of it. And when you do, when you verbally repent of it and embrace the truth, you just flip that situation around and open the door for God to do what he does best, which is keep his promise. Do you ever think, oh, I wish I could be used of God, but I don't have any gifts? Or do you ever think, gee, I wish that, you know, I had a calling, there's those special people over there and those special people over there, but I'm not special, or I felt like he called me, but I just don't think it's going to happen. Do you ever have those feelings? It may not be everybody, but it is a lot of believers. God wants to root that out. God is faithful to his word, and if he gave you a promise, a dream, a calling, listen, when he calls a person, they're usually completely unable to do what he's calling them to. And they'll talk themselves out of it. Moses spent all his time telling God, no, I don't talk well, I don't speak well. Nope, wrong guy, go get somebody else. And you know what? If you read that story, Moses kept pushing, and God gets kind of mad at him. God gets a little irritated with him. Like, what, I don't know who I'm calling? Like, I haven't heard your speech? Like, I'm not able to use you? God can speak through a donkey. Moses. And so we sometimes talk ourselves out of believing the very thing he promised, but he promised it, and he will bring it to pass if you will get out of the way. Accept the promise he gave you. There's someone in here, you actually keep a journal. I was going to say diary, but years ago, God gave you a promise. And you were I saw a picture of you, and you were laying in your bed, and you wrote it out, and then you shut it, and you put it away like, I don't think that's ever going to happen. I probably didn't hear God. And you kind of buried the thing in your heart. And instead of believing him, you hid it away. But I'm going to tell you right now, that was God. And I believe it was about 12 years ago. And God's saying that because he wants you to open that up again. Open it up. Go find it, open it up, and read it. Because God is not done with you. Moses wasn't able to do his calling. There, I don't think there's ever been anyone that was called of God that was able to do it, because God doesn't want you to do it. He wants to do it through you. He wants to pour his grace through your mortal body and speak himself or raise the dead himself or do whatever it is he's going to do, because he wants all the glory. He won't share the glory. So he on purpose picks some schmuck who can't do anything. Hello, is anyone here? Holly's got her hand in the air. He picks someone that has no ability, no skills, no knowledge, absolutely the worst person on the planet to do it, and then says, I'm going to do it. Do you have the guts to follow me until you understand what I want to do through you? Yes. Because when you do it, I will get the glory, and you get to have the fun. Come on. And that's the grace of God. The grace of God makes us able to do the impossible. Impossible. And at first, it's hard to believe the impossible. Especially when, listen, here's the other fun part of this. All the humans around you will go, nah, that's not God. Nah, you could never. I'll never forget the day that I never talked about being called to preach. I didn't like when people did that. You know, people would come to church and go, I'm called to preach. And you'd want to go, doot, 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 doot. You know, do die. So I never liked that. I would never say anything about it. I was pretty quiet about it, except for very close friends. When Edgar and I married, the first time he met me, I was in the front preaching, and he was in the congregation. He didn't like me because he didn't like women preachers. He was this way, Mr. Grumpy. And he's like, But after we got married some years later, and he repented in sackcloth and ashes. I said, and I wasn't preaching a lot in those days. And he wasn't either. We had a very quiet season. And we were talking, and I just quietly said something about preaching. And this was Edgar's reaction. He said, I just don't think you could preach. You're too quiet. Isn't that funny? And you guys can't get me to shut up. But my point is this. God will call you when you're in the midst of a whole bunch of people who can't see it, because they don't see in the Spirit. Because it's hidden inside you. It's hidden in your inner man. And until it grows big and strong, no one can see it in the natural. So you'll have every preacher in town saying, no, absolutely not, no. But then when the day comes, God begins to manifest it, and people go, oh, what is that? And they begin to, now they're all in. And what I'm saying to you is there's things in you that have laid dormant because you haven't tended it. There's things in you that God is raising up that he wants to bring forward for the sake of the body and for the sake of the lost. God is raising some of you up to be amazing soul winners. We have some amazing soul winners in here. Hallelujah. God is raising up more soul winners. He's raising up evangelists. He's raising up people that will go overseas to the mission field. He's raising people up that don't see themselves as having the ability, but if they'll accept it and just grow in God, grow in grace, God will do a thing, and everybody else will go, wow, would you look at what God just did? Because God uses his body. He chooses to use people. And one of the toughest things for him is to get people aligned with what he wants to do. Now, I know some of you have heard this story, but My friend, who's an intercessor, had a picture of three keys dangling on a ring, and they were those old, big old skeleton keys, three different sizes. And if it was anyone else, I would have gone, that's nice, and blown it off maybe. But this person is very accurate. And so I said, okay, God, show me what those keys are about. And within a couple days, I was with my sister, and we were eating in a restaurant, and it was one of those old barn, you know, barbecue places, and I excused myself to go to the restroom. As I walked towards it, hanging on the wall was this ring of keys, three big old iron keys, skeleton keys, three different sizes. And I said, okay, God, what are you trying to say here? So I sat with the Lord and I prayed into it, and I saw that these three keys opened three things for the body. They were like great barns in heaven. I'm going to tell you about one of them. And I know some have heard this, but this is for you. In the first barn I saw, first of all, it had, as I don't know how long it was farther than the eye could see. So I don't know if it had an end or not, but it was very, very long. And when I went, when I used the key and opened the door and went in, what I saw was, like you would see in a barn, mangers. Remember that they laid the baby in a manger. And a manger is a box with the hay, where the hay is put. Well, it's a great thing for a baby. It's just crib size. But here's what I saw. As far as you could see, there were all these children. Some were babies, some were 7 or 8, some were 10 or 12, some were even 15 or 16 years old. And I said, Lord, what are these children? Who are these children? And he said, these are the callings and ministries that I've appointed for people on earth. Because remember, if you get a ministry from God, you have to birth it from heaven into the earth. And how do you birth something? Through prayer, through fellowship, through spending time with God. It's the worst idea in the world to say, I'm called, and just go try to do it. You will fail if you do that, because you don't have the ability. You got to get it from heaven. You have to get your calling from God. Mary would have been nuts to try to do the thing without getting the seed from heaven. So you, if you've been called to do something, and don't think it has to be public ministry, it could be intercessory prayer, it could be writing, it could be whatever it is. Whatever it is, it's holy. And the way that you get it is you receive it from God by spending time with Him, learn about it. You'll spend your whole life, I'm still learning about what I'm doing. I learn every year, I learn more. Because he continues to unfold. And what God said is, these are the ministries that were never picked up, never received. And remember, the barn was as far as you could see. So there's all these ministries, even from prior generations, that they didn't pick up, didn't receive. Maybe they thought they weren't good enough. Maybe they thought they didn't speak well enough, like Moses. Who knows what the reason was? Or maybe they were just too dull. Some people are just flat out too spiritually dull to hear God say, I have this thing I want you to do in the earth. And God wants to put something, and some of you, he has put it, and it's like something that needs to grow in you until it becomes who you are. Eventually, you become the thing you're called to do. It's hard to describe, but it would be hard to divide it. Because it's such a part of your life. I have no interest in other things. I have no interest in anything but God. I'm not interested. In fact, if I wasn't doing this, I'd ask God to just, can I just come home now? Because I love heaven. I want to be in heaven. There's nothing here that appeals to me. As nice as you all are. And so God puts something in you, and at first it begins to grow, and you don't really get it, you know, you don't really understand. But as you pray, and as you nurture it, as you water it with prayer, as you read it in the Word and you see confirmations, and all these people are going, nah, I don't see it, nope, I don't see it, nope, just don't see it. But you and God are having a thing. And people will almost never get that unless they're seeing in the Spirit. People will almost never get who you really are. And sometimes you don't even get who you really are. Sometimes you don't even see who you really are from heaven. But you are a gift from heaven. But some of you are kind of messed up. And God wants to take that and bring it forth into life for others. You're not just here to, you know, have fun, have a good life, and, you know, pray so that everything goes well. A lot of Christians only pray defensively and reactively so that things go right. You know, that's their big interest. Get through it unscathed. That's a terrible way to go through life. I would be very upset if I got to the end of my life and I hadn't done something worth doing. I don't care if it's big or little, but let me do something that counts. Let me do something for him. He did everything for me. Let me do something that makes help for somebody, even if it's something little. For goodness sake, give a sandwich to a homeless person. Do something. Quoting my canoe partner, do something. God is trying to raise us up to be fruitful and productive. And so he's put these seeds in you that count. But if you don't tend them, they just lay dormant. But as you pray, and as you worship, and as you spend time in the Word and spend time with him, those begin to grow. Initially, they're not visible because they're in you, right? They're in your spirit, man. But when it gets big enough, it begins to manifest or be visible in the earth, right? Manifest means to become visible and tangible. Even though it existed before, you couldn't see it. But when it manifests, here it is. And there is something in you, a seed, a hope, a dream, a calling, a promise. There's something in you that God wants to nurture and raise up until it grows so powerfully strong that it manifests or becomes visible and tangible. Listen, the kingdom of heaven is like a seed. Teeny tiny little seed. But it grows up into this great tree that's so big and so full of fruit that the birds of the air come and rest in its branches. This little tiny seed in you can grow and grow and rise above the heights until people can come and just pull fruit when they need help. They need something from heaven. Okay? But you have to nurture it. You have to water it. And you have to believe. You say, well, could God really use me? Absolutely. God can use the worst. Absolute. God could take somebody off a death row, and if they meant it when they prayed that prayer, he can use them to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, win souls, run a soup kitchen. He can use them. Now, will they have to probably go through some deliverance? Yeah. Will they probably have to change some attitude? Sure. All of us do. And that's okay. God gets that. God gets that it's a journey. But what kind of people would we be if we let this salvation that he gave us change us and radically change our lives and bless us, and then we just turned inward and made it all about us? P.U. There's a lot of the church doing that. It's all about me. It's all about me, you know. What God wants is somebody who says, it's not about me, it is about the kingdom. I don't have any ability. Catherine Kuhlman went to the Lord and she said, I got nothing to give you. She said, I have absolutely nothing. I am nothing, I have nothing. She said, I didn't even have hair, was born with red fuzz. And she went before the Lord and said, I have nothing, but if you can use nothing, I give it to you with all my heart. And God took her life and turned her into a radical woman of God that was used all over the world. She changed the face of the church. I'll tell you the truth. She changed. That was a huge move of God right there. God took her nothing and made it something. And he could do that because her heart was pure. And so I believe God is saying, you know, there's a scripture. I'll just give you the scripture. Above all things, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. Make sure your heart is pure. How do you know if your heart is pure? Let me give you a couple of questions. Is Jesus really first? Is Jesus really first in every area, or is he just first in a couple areas? And you can choose, and maybe you have some, you say, oh, I'm having a hard time letting go of that. Keep asking God for the grace to give him every part of your heart, every part of your life, your family, your checkbook, your car, everything. Make sure he's Lord in every area in your heart. Then you take a look at your motive. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. How do you know if something's first? When you want it the most. You can pray your heart into wanting God's kingdom more than your own deal. You have to pray into it because our flesh stinks and we want our way. Right? Until God, you know, works on us a little. Sometimes we're a bit selfish. We want our deal. We want our stuff. We want it this way. And we tell God what to do and how to do it. Right? Our flesh stinks. But you can pray into having a heart that is kingdom first, God first. Here's the neat thing about this. When you do, when you put him first and you put his kingdom first, God begins to look for ways to put you first. He begins to look for ways to show you favor. He goes before you and takes care of things so you don't have to deal with it. But how you approach God, that's kind of how he approaches you. The measure you use, he uses back to you. Is your heart wholly his? There's nothing more disturbing than someone with a divided heart. I've never understood the concept, but there is such a thing as a person who gets born again, but somehow they're fragmented in such a way that part of their heart still wants their own way. It's called a divided heart. And so they're forever going back and forth. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, right? That's what the Bible says. And so a person who has sort of this divided heart, they want God, and they even have a part of them that loves God, but they also want their own way and continually revert back. Here's the problem with that. If you go back and forth and back and forth, your heart begins to grow hard. It's a very dangerous thing to do. And if you sow, listen, he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, right? And so if you continually sow to that rebellious thing, it gets bigger. It doesn't mean you don't love God, because you have a part of your heart that loves God, but that thing can eventually wrestle you to the floor and keep you there, and you know, now you've got trouble. You have to have help. I don't know why God has me talking about this. The first time I met someone with a divided heart, it was almost more than I could fathom. It was a person that had a wonderful anointing, a wonderful ministry, but they also wanted their own kingdom. And because of it, they were, when they were in the Spirit of God, when they were working by the Holy Ghost, to me, I couldn't grasp this. It took me a while. It took me a lot of praying to even understand it. When they were in the Holy Ghost, they could just be so accurate and prophetic and amazing, really anointed. But when they wanted to do something for their own kingdom, they would manipulate. They would give so-called words from the Lord that were manipulative to get people to do what they wanted them to do. That's a stench. It's demonic. And God can only let that stuff go on so long. I don't know why we're here. I don't know why I'm telling you about this, except to say in this day you have to be really careful, right? You have to be careful, and you have to be shrewd, and you have to ask God for discernment on people's hearts, especially when people are giving manipulative words. I was in a church one time visiting, and there was this big red-faced guy that preached real loud, and, you know, and it came time for the offering, so I got out my checkbook, and God said, not one red cent. I thought that was kind of shocking, because, you know, I love to give. God always has me give. And I said, the blood of Jesus? He said, not one red cent. Now, I have to tell you the whole story. This is many years ago. I was thin, young, and cute, okay? After the meeting, that guy hit on me. I'm thinking, you know, if I'd have given him money, I'd have been royally ticked. Yeah. That would have made me mad. He might have got a punch in the nose. I wasn't yet delivered to punching people in the nose. No, I'm just kidding. But I mean, think about it. How creepy is that? Here's this guy blustering and telling you all the reasons you should give and hitting on people in the building right after the meeting. How gross and disgusting is that? So we need discernment. We need to be asking God not to judge people, but so that we know who we're dealing with. Okay? And when a word comes, then we'll have a sense. If something doesn't sit right in here, like, it's probably not right. You know? There's a lot of manipulative crud going on in the church. Oh, man. I hate saying stuff like that. But there is. There's some really false stuff going on. And it's like we have to walk. Do you ever walk through a swamp and you just have to step real carefully? Yeah. Well, in this day, in the last day, evil times come, right? The deceiving and being deceived. People heaping to themselves. Teachers having itchy ears, right? We have to be careful who we listen to and what we listen to, right? But God will show you. He'll give you, have a check in your spirit, like, I don't know why, but something. And you know what I used to do? I used to blow that off. God would give me a little check, like something isn't right, and I would go, oh, no, I'm sure you're going to beep, 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 beep. You know, because I wanted to think the best of everyone. Right? Because I knew the scriptures, love believes all things, hopes all things. You know, it's just like you think the best of everybody. Except God himself was trying to warn me. That guy is a creep. He was trying to tell me. And see, I didn't get it because I was trying to walk rightly. Now, God did protect me, but I'm telling you, there are people and things going on in the body that are not all the Holy Ghost. And the charismatic church, oh man, I don't want to say this. The charismatic church has become experts at imitating the presence of the Lord, but not carrying it. And it's disgusting. And the problem with that is people who don't know better are drinking it, going, ooh, wasn't that a great word? Ooh, the president was so strong. Did you ever go to, I was in a church in Ohio, and the guy's a famous guy, and I'm right in the front, and he's saying, ooh, I could just feel the glory. Don't you just feel it? I'm thinking, nope. This guy gets, this was several thousand people in this church, he gets everybody up to do a Jericho march. He marches everybody around. I'm thinking, well, maybe it's me. No, I don't think it was me. There wasn't enough presence, so he made it up. Barf. To me, that's just not acceptable. If you don't have the presence, you go pray and fast till you get some. If you don't have the presence, you go pray till you get some, or get out of the pulpit. Ooh, I'm just being rude tonight. But God desires for us to be shrewd. Listen, Jesus said, he wants us to be shrewd as serpents, but gentle as doves. We still love the church. We help them when we can. But we're to be shrewd enough to know when something's not right. Amen? So, Father God, I bless your children. And I bless those gifts that are in them, those seeds and those promises, those things that you have given them or offered to them. And I pray, Father, that even tonight, they will sit with you. They will review those words, those promises, and those dreams. And if nothing else, they will say, Lord, whatever you want to do, I want to do it. And if I don't have the ability, I believe you have the ability to bring it to pass, to do it through me, in Jesus' name. How about if we say that? Yeah. If this doesn't apply to you, you don't have to say it. But I'm going to have you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to receive every seed, every promise, every calling, and every work that you have for me to do in the earth. I don't want to get in the way of that. If in any way I've been a naysayer or I've denied the possibility, I repent. I renounce that. I open my heart to you. I want to do everything you've called me to do. I acknowledge I can't do it in my own strength. But I believe you can do it through me. And you can grow me up to be able to house it and manifest it in purity. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from spiritofgodworldwide.com.